Brick Callen had no idea that he was one grocery aisle away from his worst nightmare. Had he bothered straightening to his full 6 feet 4 inches and looked up from the canned goods, he would have caught that telltale flash of red, the color of forest fires and the temptations of hell. Instead, he weighed the options between diced tomatoes with or without green peppers, while shopkeeper Bill House complained to him.
"I'm telling you, Brick, that Rathburn kid spent half the afternoon gunning his snowmobile down Market Street like a maniac," Bill hissed, crossing his skinny arms over his chest.
Brick tucked the tomatoes with peppers into the cart, next to a bag of yellow onions, 2 cartons of beef broth, and the pack of batteries.
"Kids scared the hell out of the horses on delivery yesterday," Bill continued, "and he came this close to sideswiping Mulvaney's new Arctic Cat last week. You know, we'd never hear the end of that."
Brick bit back a sigh. Just once, it would be nice to do his shopping without small talk.
"I'll talk to him," he promised.
He happened to know a thing or two about the dumb shit boys did to impress teenage girls. Bill blew out a sigh and adjusted the Dowd's Market ski cap he used to keep his bald head warm from November through April.
"Appreciate it, Brick."
There was a delicate balance to their little island community, and Brick's job was to help maintain that balance, even in the dead of the Michigan winter, when only the most hardy of residents remained on Mackinac. It was the same reason he'd promised Mrs. Sopp he'd change the batteries in the smoke detectors of her rental when she'd called from the back nine of a golf course in Florida. The door to Dowd's opened with a jangle of the bell. Mira Rathbun, mother of said Rathbun kid, blew into the little store with a bone-chilling lake wind. Bill clammed up, looking as if he'd swallowed his tongue. The man didn't mind tattling to the off-duty cops on his neighbors, but he was more comfortable doing so behind their backs.
"Shut the damn door!"
The order came from the cashier and 2 customers closest to the entrance. When the last full ferry of tourists left Mackinac Island back in October, it also took the polite courtesy required for a summer resort with it. The town's 500-ish year-round residents hunkered down for another bone-chilling off-season in the middle of Lake Huron, with a charming surliness.
Yeah, sorry,
Mira said, impatiently brushing a layer of powder off her bright orange snowsuit. The woman was a mile-a-minute whirlwind, which stressed Brick out. It was unfortunate for the community that she'd been the one to teach Travis to drive his third-hand snowmobile. This was Brick's 14th winter on the island. He perversely looked forward to the frigid temperatures and the seasonal closures of most of the businesses. Winter was quiet, low-key, predictable. Bill peered into Brick's cart, eyebrows disappearing under the edge of his hat.
"Beef stew again? Don't you know any other recipes? I bet there's a single gal or two on the island who wouldn't mind cooking up a nice pastry for you."
"I like beef stew."
He also liked not being forced to be social while eating it. Brick made a batch of beef stew every week and ate it for 4 or 5 days straight because it was easy and familiar. As for the social aspect, he'd earned his solitary winters and wasn't inclined to set a second place at the table.
"Did you hear the news?"
Mira demanded, bustling over and crowbarring herself into the conversation. Brick was skeptical. News didn't happen on Mackinac in the winter, which meant this was gossip, something he preferred to avoid, despite the fact that both his jobs constantly put him on the receiving end of it.
"This have to do with the plane that came in late last night?"
Bill asked, temporarily forgetting his problem with Mira's kid's accelerator hand. Her eyes sparkled with the rare nugget of novelty in the middle of a season when every day looked a hell of a lot like the day before.